I want to take just a moment to welcome you here this evening and to those who are visiting with us. We appreciate your presence. We are indeed honored to have you be a part of our service tonight, and we are encouraged by the fact that you have come to be with us. It is my hope and my prayer that the things we do and the things that we say here will be pleasing to God. I want you to understand that you have a responsibility to know the truth and then to live by the truth. This is part two of a lesson that we began this morning. And in our study this morning, we talked about the joy, the feelings of happiness that exist when mom and dad have their first child. And then we also talked about the fact that it can be a very terrifying time. And we mentioned that time is of an essence, that we need to give our kids the time that they deserve. And we talked about giving time in a secular way, the kind of things that we can do. You might recall that mentioned that there are about 940 Saturdays from birth to age 18, about 260 Saturdays from birth to age 5. And so when you think of it that way, there's just not a lot of time. We're so busy in life. We work throughout the week, and we have duties at home. And so sometimes it's a real challenge to be able to spend time with our kids. And we focus primarily on the idea of just talking to our kids, speaking with our kids, and the kinds of things that we need to be talking to them about. Loving God, for example. Respecting divine authority. Making good choices. Spiritual integrity and strength. Praying. Talk to your kids about praying. The joys and blessings in serving God and their priorities. These are all things that we need to dedicate time to in trying to raise our kids up to please God. And I mentioned as we close this morning that tonight we're going to look at some of the warnings that we as godly parents need to be giving our kids. Our kids need to understand that there are two sides to God. There's that side to God that blesses us and that gives us hope. There's that side to God who has paid the price for our sins. But then there's also the side to God that warns us about the consequences of rejecting His love, about the consequences of not serving Him. And as parents, we need to teach our kids that side of God as well. You know, we live in a society when the idea of success, the idea of victory, is becoming, I think, skewed by the idea that we want everyone to feel good. We want everyone to be winners. And so we try to minimize anything that is negative. We try to minimize any kind of consequence to action. And so we stress the idea of praising our kids, and I think that that is truly needed, to praise our kids, to let them know that they are good, to let them know that they have value. And to talk to them about their value. Their value is in their soul. Their value is in eternity. Their value is because of God's creation of them. And so, yes, we need to talk to our kids about their value and about their goodness, but also warn them that there are consequences to rejecting God. And so, as parents, we need to spend time warning our kids. We could spend hours tonight talking about all of the warnings God gave to people and the warnings that we ought to be then rehearsing with our kids, reminding our kids about. But we're going to look at just a few, and I want you to think about these and again, carry these out to other aspects, to other statements, because we cannot possibly look at all of them. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, in the context there, God is reminding them of what He did for them at Mount Horeb, receiving the Ten Commandments, receiving the law, and what it was like to be there as they witnessed God's glory, God's grandeur in the events that were taking place there out the mountain. And how they were in those commandments warned about certain things. And so in verse 9, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. In other words, a warning here, don't forget what you witnessed there on this occasion. The magnificent power of God, of God's love for them, as God had delivered them from Egypt, as God was giving to them a special law, a law that was unique from what others had with God and their relationship to God. And so he's reminding them, you remember this awesome power that you witnessed. And you keep them. You don't forget them. You don't forget what you saw. You know, sometimes we forget, do we not? Granted, we were not there with the people of Israel. We were not there with the apostles and the disciples as they saw Jesus perform the miracles, as they heard his words. We were not there at the cross, at the crucifixion. We were not there when Jesus was raised up. But do you remember the day you were baptized, the way you felt? You might not recall the exact date. Many people do. But do you remember how you felt, knowing that the weight of your sins, the guilt of your sins, had been removed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Do you remember the joy and the relief that you felt? You know, we can read through the New Testament examples of conversion in the book of Acts, and time and again we read about how people felt after they responded. The joy that they had. What did the eunuch do after he was baptized into Christ by Philip? He went on his way rejoicing. You see, at that moment, we realize all of our past mistakes, all of our transgressions, they have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that. Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget the feeling that you had. Parents need to be instilling that in their children and reminding them how easy it is to forget. How easy it is a year, 5 years, 10 years down the road to not have those same feelings, to not remember what God had done for them. In fact, the people of Israel did exactly that. And very soon they did that. Time and again they forgot. And of course, God's warnings came true, did they not? In the ways in which they were punished. In verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. How on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. We need to hear the words of God to fear him. And yes, that is partly a respect for God, but do not miss the point. It is also terror at what God can do and what God said he will do. We need to talk to our kids and let them know there are consequences to bad behavior. Again, I think we live in a time when we try to minimize those things, and we don't want to discipline our children. We don't want to correct our children. We don't want to make them feel bad about doing things they should not do. But if we do not teach them discipline, and we do not teach them that there are consequences to sin, then what service have we done for them? Because be assured, as they stand before God, there are consequences to sin. And so we need to be warned. Keep your soul. Don't forget what you've seen. Don't forget what you've known. Keep the word of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the wise men said, "Fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The next few examples that we're going to talk about come from the book of Proverbs. He goes on to say, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Here's the warning. You need to listen to what your dad and your mom say. Why? Because they have gained certain wisdom. Because they care about you. Because they want you to be the kind of person that you ought to be. Children who have parents, godly parents, parents who know God's word, parents who trust in God's word. What a blessing. And children need to realize the importance of following the instruction and the guidance given by godly parents. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And so the contrast here, you have godly parents trying to instruct you, raise you to do the right thing, lead you in the right direction. But understand that there are other forces involved. Sinners, if they entice you, do not consent. Do not follow them. Do not do what they encourage you to do. That is a warning we need to give our children. Because they're going to be tested time and again. As they enter into school, as they grow a little older, they begin to drive, they begin to go more and more places without dad and mom. Dad and mom begin to put their trust in their kids. But warn them. Warn them of the dangers that sinners can bring upon them. Peer pressure. Those who want them to follow after their ways, do their things in life. Parents, talk to your kids. Warn them about following sinners. Think about how much that could include. It could include just the way you speak. It could include the way you conduct yourself in class. It could include things like associations and gatherings and parties and those kinds of things. It could include drugs and alcohol. Just think about all that it could include. And so parents need to be warning their kids, don't follow after sinners. These are the things that sinners do. And don't be apologetic for that. Don't think that it is crude or somehow rude that we would call a sinner a sinner. A sinner is someone who transgresses God's will. A sinner is someone, in this context, who lives that way. That's a part of his or her lifestyle. Don't follow the sinner, he says. If you read the context there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, it becomes very clear that he's talking about people who are evil, yes. About people who do not care about others. Do not follow sinners. And then in conjunction with that, in chapter 4 and verse 14, the wise man says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on." So really the same point is made. You don't want to follow those people. You don't want to do what they do. In fact, he talks about avoiding it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. In other words, go another direction. Do not follow behind just as close as you can without trying to get burned by their sin. Go a different direction. Do not put yourself in that kind of jeopardy, in that kind of danger. Get away from it. we might be reminded of the story of Joseph in Potiphar's house, when Potiphar's wife made advancements toward him time and again. How when she finally tried to force herself on him, he ran to get away. We might remember the advice that Paul gave to Timothy, a young man, a young evangelist, to flee youthful lust or passions. That's the idea that we have here. We need to warn our children. No, you're not strong enough to put yourself in danger all the time and not get burnt by that danger. We need to remember what evil companionship does. It corrupts good morals. We need to remember that we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather we reprove them. And that's the warning that we need to give to our kids. Stay away from it. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Going back to chapter 3 in the book of Proverbs, in verse 3, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so here is a warning not to allow things to escape. Steadfast love, faithfulness. Some translations say mercy and truth. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. I think the idea is very simple. That we follow a greater standard. That we follow a standard that is based on God's love and God's mercy and God's will. And those are the things that we are going to follow after. We are not going to allow them to escape. We are going to bind them around our neck. We are going to write them on the tablet of our heart, make them a part of us. Where they become almost second nature. Where when we are tested, we have applied these things long enough, well enough, that we simply react as we should. Where if we find ourselves in a dangerous situation, we don't have to think about what to do. We know what to do. We get away from it. We avoid it. Keep mercy and keep truth is what he's saying in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. A little bit later, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. You know, one of the things that is rather obvious in our day and time is that the ungodly think of themselves as being superior. Have you noticed that? The ungodly think of themselves as being wise. But really, is that any different from people of past generations, of past times? I don't think so. You look at the days of Noah and how it's described there about their heart. About their actions. Turn over to the book of Genesis for a moment. In Genesis chapter 6. And I want you to listen to what is said about those people. In Genesis chapter 6. In verse 3. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His day shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man and they bore children to them, these were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Listen to that description again. Saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He's talking about people who thought that they knew better. He's talking about people who mocked and made fun of Noah as he built the ark. He's talking about people who rejected God at every turn, where only 8 souls were saved. Out of the multitude of people who existed at this time, only 8 people feared God. Noah found grace in the eyes of God because he was not wise in his own eyes, But he submitted himself to God's will. He did what God said to do. Can you imagine your place there with Noah and listening to what was going on and what God was telling him? Think about that. It had never rained on the earth. The vegetation was watered from kind of a dew. And now all of a sudden, God is telling Noah something. In verse, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and out with pitch. Can you imagine listening to that? What kind of great faith did it take in God? Certainly if Noah had looked to himself, he would have thought, how silly is this? An ark? What's an ark? What does it mean to pitch it inside and out? What are we going to do with this great structure? How is it going to serve a purpose? Surely those are some of the kinds of questions that must have come to his mind. And yet, Noah did exactly what God said to do. Earthly wisdom at that time said, an ark? Really? Rain? What's rain? But sometimes we do the same thing. We become wise in our own eyes. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25 through verse 32, another warning that we as parents need to give our children. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow. I will give it when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. And do not envy a man of violence. And do not choose any of his ways, for the devious person is an abomination to the Lord. But the upright are in his confidence. Time and again in the short passage, do not, do not, do not. A warning against certain actions. That is exactly how godly parents approach their kids. They warn their children about the dangers that are out there, what they should and should not do. And they tell their kids, do not go after the way of sinners. They tell their kids, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. They tell their kids, do not plan evil against your neighbor. Do not contend with a man for no reason. Do not do violence. Do not be a part of and associated with a devious person. They warn their children time and time again of the terrible dangers that are out in the world. That's what godly parents do. It takes time. Because you see, not only do we try to warn our kids, but we need to explain to our kids why these things are so. We need to explain to our kids why it's not a good idea to associate themselves with evil people. We need to explain to our kids why it's not a good idea for them to go to this party or to do that. Now, they may not agree with you. They may not like your decision. But we need to explain to our kids. I'm not suggesting the parents have to explain everything that they say or everything that they do. But you know, there comes a time when a child is old enough to understand, when a child is old enough to know why it's not a good idea to do these things. That doesn't happen suddenly overnight. That doesn't happen all of a sudden when a child is 15 or 16 years old. These are the kinds of things that we lead up to. These are the kinds of things that it takes time to instruct our kids to build that confidence and that trust that we talked about this morning. That confidence, that trust begins when the child is a day old, a month old, a year old. And it progresses. But not if we don't have time. When you look at the New Testament, there's not a lot specifically said with regard to parents and children. There are a few passages. We know the one. In fact, we read it this morning in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We'll go back to that. Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 1 beginning. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long on the earth. So this is the reason why children need to obey their parents. We didn't read this part of the passage, but we read verse 4, didn't we? In verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up with the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That includes explaining. Look, God could have said simply, because I said so. And there's no doubt that the Bible teaches us in our relationship to God that we are inferior in every way, that we are His creation, we are His servants, and that God can do with us as someone molding clay. That's the power God has over us. And again, there's no doubt that there are times when we are told to obey God simply because He is God. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible is filled up with reasons why. And it begins in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. It begins by God showing us that He is the Creator, that He gave us a special place, that we have a soul, something that is immortal in nature, that we are able to pick and choose, do right or do wrong, and that God gave us law. You see, God demonstrated why we ought to be obedient to Him. Why Adam and Eve should have believed God when He said, "In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." And you can go all the way through the Bible. And again, there are examples where when God just simply says, "I am God. Do this." But how many times do we read about His love and the fact that when God tells us something, when God wants us to do something, it is always, and I mean without exception, it is always in our best interest. There's not a single time that God has said, "Don't do this," that He is depriving us of something good. We may think that He is. We may think to ourselves, "Well, I can't enjoy the same pleasures that other people enjoy." And that's right. It's just like Moses in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. He made a choice. Rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, he made a choice. And he made a choice based on his love for God and for God's people. And so we as parents need to teach our kids that, yes, there are consequences to disobedience. There are consequences when they disobey us. More so, there are consequences when they disobey God. But there's a reason for that. And the reason is very simple. God wants what is best for us. God demands purity because He is pure. God demands holiness because He is holy. And God has provided a way in which we can become pure and we can be holy. It's not based on our own goodness and merit. It is based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When we come into contact with that blood, then we are made pure, we are made holy. That's what we need to be teaching our kids. But as we close, there's one more thing that we need to keep before them. Just as when dad and mom say, "Don't do this. If you do this, here are the consequences." And then if a child does do it, the consequences are enforced. If you come in late, you're going to be grounded for a month. If you don't do your homework, you're not going to be able to play games, video games, for a month. We set the boundaries. We set the consequence, and then it is enforced. A judgment takes place. Well, in the book of Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul says this in verse 11. It is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. That's what we need to be instilling in our kids. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And you're going to give an account of what you've done in your life. There's the warning that we need to heed. It's a lot like we read in the book of Ecclesiastes. Again, the wise man speaking. He tells us at the conclusion of this great experiment of life, where he tried things, he did things, just to see. Just to see what was really important in life. And of course, we know the conclusion, do we not? We know what he came up with, that all is vanity. In verse 8 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. And then we drop down to verse 13. So what is life all about? The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's the warning we need to give our kids. Look, God is not just a God of love. He's not just a God of compassion and mercy and grace. He is a God of justice. And yes, we need to focus hard on the goodness of God. It is such a wonderful revelation about who God is. To realize that our Creator has done so much for us. And surely, that should be the basis for our service, for our love in return. But we also understand that there are consequences. And so you have both. You have that which should motivate us to do right because of God's goodness. You have that which should motivate us to avoid wrong because of God's wrath and God's anger and judgment to come. Are you taking the time to teach your kids about these things? To teach them about what it means to serve God? If not, I hope and pray that you will start. Time is short. Time is short. 940 Saturdays from birth to 18 years old. That number may sound like a lot, but when you start to break it down, it really isn't. You have to make time. You have to plan time. That has to be important to you. If you're not a Christian, tonight my prayer is that you will do right, that you will come forward, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized. If you are a child of God, but you've sinned against him, ask God to forgive you, turn away from your sins. If you need to respond in a public way, do so. As together we stand and we stand.